Opening Gemara draws a comparison in language to the opening Mishnah Sukkah and the opening Mishnah Erevin, and asks what seems like a very technical question and gives two answers. And as is so often the case, technical questions often lead to profound and broad vistas in the solution. And that's part of the joy and majesty of Talmud Torah. So what was the question? The question again was, the Mishnah in Sukkah and Mishnah in Erevin, that has the opening Tosfos here pointed out, are remarkably parallel. In both cases, you have a din that if something is above 20 amas, it's according to everyone but Rabbi Yehuda disqualified. Either it's the Sukkah or it's the Korah, it's Matir, the Mavon. The outcome, so it's pretty parallel. There's a striking, at least one difference in the formulation. The most striking difference is how the din is. Right? The way the cases are presented are identical or almost identical, but what the din is expressed very differently. Is it pas psula or is it dimait? Is it, as the Gemara puts it, a focus on the problem or a focus on the takanta, focus on the solution? So here it seems to be problem oriented, and in Erevin, so the mavoi, the korah, it's Matir the Mavoi, we seem to be solution-oriented. How come? At the opening talks of the Mishnah pointed out, it's that much more troubling because Mishnah, of course, different Tanaim will speak differently. But you express yourself differently in different situations. The two Mishnahs are so parallel, and then all of a sudden there's like striking divergence. It's Omer Darshani. So as we saw, the Gemara gave two tables. The first teretz had to do with the actual content of the dinim, and the second teretz was just a practical teretz about how it's structured. And the second teretz just said, well, it would be lovely to say, we'd love to be solution sellers, but it works very well in Erev. And Erev is the rule. We say, Yimai. We'd love to say, Yimai here too, the second teretz of our Gemara, but we can't, because it would be very awkward and inefficient, because there are four different cases you're dealing with, the Fish and Mile, and each case has a different type of solution. Psula is a statement that applies equally across the board to all four problems. But to start saying what the solution is, in one case it's Yemai, in one case it's Yagbia, add a wall, add Tzach. Okay. So that is the Maharam point there. So yesterday, the second term is clearly assuming that the ideal would be to be solution sellers. The ideal would be to be solution oriented, but here we can't just for practical reasons, because of the Fishin Mila. First answer said it doesn't have to do with how the language of the cases are structured, it has to do with the content of the dinim, namely that here we're talking about deraisa, that's what it says possible. Over there, it's derabanan, the whole din of Korah is derabanan. As we saw, Minatoria can carry the mavoi without any problem whatsoever, according to Rashi and others, three walls already makes a Rosh Hashayachid in that Torah. The Rambam seems to think that the four walls tells you that in the Torah, but certainly it's not Rosh Hashayachid. Either Rosh Hashayachid or it's a zero, it's a Makkah Patur. Either way, in that Torah, you're permitted to carry in the Mavoi without the Korah. The whole need for the Korah is Rabbanan. Certainly the requirement that the Korah be within 20 amas of the ground, that's certainly Rabbanan. So in the Mekel, there we say, Yemai. Here, the din of the mitzvah of Sukkah is Daraisa. Not only that, as Rashi stressed, the specific requirement for the 20 amah maximum height is also Daraisa. So Mimela, and we have that law, the Misina line. So Mimela, here we say, Pasal, Psula, there's Rabban, we say, Yemai. But that only got us wondering further. Well, the logic of the second teretz is very accessible. We would love to say Yemai, but you can't. Inefficient. Okay. The question is, with the first teretz, we understand how Nefishin Mili leads to Pasol and Lo Nefishin Mili leads to Yemai. But what we don't understand is how does Daraisa lead to Psula and Rabbanan leads to Yemai. That's the question. And my Rambam also made us thinking, the interesting way of organizing ideas is which is the rule, which is the exception. And in the second text, it's pretty clear. We love to say Yemai. We'd love to give a solution. But sometimes you can't. Okay. In the first text, which one is it? We would love to say Yemai, but by the rights, you can't say Yemai for some reason. Or we would love to say Pasol, but by the rights, you can't say Pasol. this sort of a question to get us thinking that will hopefully help us to be attuned to the differences in different tirutzim. So yesterday we took a look at Rashi. And really we unpacked Rashi. We unpacked Rashi. Remember Rashi had made, in that very brief Rashi had laid out two or three major ideas that together built his approach. One, and he's obviously driven by this problem, like Ma'in Shemitah Yitzhar Sinai. What does Dreis Rabban to do with Pasol or Yimayit? Why can't you say Pasol with Dreis Rabban? Why can't you say Yimayit with Dreis Rabban? Why can't Rabban things be Pasol? And why, and since when, and Dreis of things yield to solutions? So my question, right? What did Rashi say? Rashi basically had two major assumptions. One assumption was what? A historical assumption that, yeah. Kivaldik, right? This mission is recording the original Nusach HaGzer, the original Nusach HaTakana, not recording a shiur given by a Tana 100 years later, teaching Tanya, oh, you should know this, such a din in the books. No, this dates back to the original creation of the Takana. Kivaldik. And then Rashi had a second Tanakha, which was
Lashon Psula was Mashmi before that time.
Yeah. Lashon Psula sounds like we're talking about pre-existing din. So think about some more of Tashir. I think probably the best way to explain that, well, why should Pasul, I mean, the first one is, okay, historical assumption. Good. Okay, if that's Nusra HaTakana, that's Nusra HaTakana. That's how old the mission is, that's how old the mission is. And the second one, just to understand why we should Pasul indicate we talk about Tashir. So in the conversation, it occurred to me, I think the best way to say it is that he's saying to Rashi's ear, Pasul sounds like he's describing a reality rather than making a pronouncement. In other words, to Rashi's ear, if you want to say, we hereby declare that from now on this will be the din, either you would say, Yamayit is instructions. Do this. There's nothing beforehand. If I'm giving you instructions, it means, now that I told you, after I say the instructions, you're going to go do this. There's no connection to the past. Pasul can go either way, right? And it sounds like Rashi understood, as Rashi's ear, was that Pasul sounds like we're making a statement to fact. This is Pasul. As opposed to, we hereby pronounce this Pasul. This is not the utterance, sort of like Lakim Adavar versus Labir Adavar, a little bit parallel to that. Just to say Pasul isn't a way of making it Pasul. Just to say Pasul is a way of recording that it is Pasul. We're recording a fact. We're not making it so. It's not, I think, Jonathan Sachs uses the terminology of a performative utterance. This is not a performative utterance. In other words, just to say Psula isn't the way you would phrase it if you're trying to create the Psul. I don't know, how would you say it? Maybe say, I raise that psula? Yehei pasul? I don't know. But Rashi's intuition is that just to say psula, sort of very, very blandly, without a raise or something, it sounds like I'm not making it so. I'm not saying, now we hereby declare that it shall be pasul. It is pasul. It is pasul. It means that's the way it was 2 minutes ago also. So Rashi, given those two assumptions, Rashi makes again that the Mishnah is recording the original, is preserving and presenting to us the original Nusach HaTakana. A and B, the Psula sounds like I'm describing a reality, not creating a reality. So then the Mela, I couldn't say Psula. So the question is, how would you phrase such a Takana? So Rashi says, better, I said before, you would say I raise the psula better. Rashi says, you would say you might. And if you want to say, this is hereby the din, what do you say? Rashi says, oh, exactly what the missionary would say, you might. Afterwards, I'll say, okay, so if I'm giving the shiur this 100 years later, if Rabbi Tarfon, or Rabbi Shmuel, or Rabbi Akiva, or Meir, giving a shiur about the pre-existing, maybe in shiur he would have said psula. That's what Rashi says. 100 years later, you say, yeah, Rabbi, this is possible, this is a problem. But when you originally be Misakin then, or if Rabbi Tarfon was the one who was Misakin then, whoever was Misakin then wouldn't have said Psula. You'd say, here's what you should do, you might. Or some other such language that makes it clear, that's appropriate for for declaring that this shall be possible from here on in. Okay. So that is Rashi. Good? Gevalt. Yeah.
What's the real difference, though, between making something possible and just having it be so? Well, after you make something possible, it's possible either way. So what does it mean that it's not that it was possible, it's not that I'm making it possible, but it's inherently possible, but it's the same thing once it's possible. They both, what's the actual difference, though? Is it interesting if you made it possible 2 minutes ago, or now it's not possible, whatever it is? Does it, what's the difference?
It's the difference between saying to your wife, we're married, and saying to a girl under the chuppah, you are hereby married to me. Haret Mekudeshesli makes you married. I imagine you spent some time asking Kedushin whether the Amira is Mama Shechelik Lemais Kedushin, and the Baruch Bear, and the Tesis, and the Scrub, whatever. But either way, to say you are hereby married, that's very different. Right? To say to your wife, it's been a couple of times to be married. As opposed to saying we are married as a statement of fact and appreciating this reality, as opposed to actually declaring, as of now, we are now, as of now, here on in married. There's a different. Now, and Rashi's. Now, again, Rashi's making two assumptions. If the second assumption is an assumption in language, which other Rishonim could disagree with, which is that you would not use the same terminology for a pronouncement as for an observation. Okay, you could what's the debate? But we understand Rashi's svar. Rashi is saying, look, I think that this mission is recording the original Takana, and I think that Psula it would be an awkward, inappropriate way to declare itself, to make itself. Okay, so maybe that's what you say, Psula. Now, by the way, also going back to the Maram's way of thinking, so Rashi would assume that which is the rule, which is the exception? The default would be to say which, according to the first Teretz. According to Rashi's understanding, the first Teretz, the Derech Rabbanan Teretz, the default would be to say possible. Right? But you can't, by Rabbanan, if you're creating a din, you can't say so. But ideally, we would love to. Ideally, we would love to. Okay. Yeah. Questions? Where was first?
Is the Rabbanan saying that it's a column exception, or is he just providing us? Saying Rashi is providing us with a framework where if there's a particular din, it falls into a category X. And if it's a din that's formulated differently, it falls into category Y.
Let's take a look. The way he presents it is that the kasha is, he says he's talking with Pirish Rashi. Because the kasha was, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer possible or do you prefer Takana? Either one is fine, but whatever your preference is, why not stick with it? Why are you consistent? Whatever you want is fine, but be consistent. And Matara, it's Atarza, and here's the very first, not hard to find, it's the very first Maharam, underneath the very first Marsha, after the Rosh and the Pirish Mishnais. In this Gemara, it is page Ayin Vav. Coming up. The Matara, a couple lines in, you'll be, oh, I'm Nicha, the Tarn, Lishna, Lishna, Psula. We really prefer that. Why? Because it's Rabbanon. So in the middle, we have to say, Yemai. Iba is saying, Yemai, no. But there I say, Nami, Tarn, Tarn, we're Tarn, Lomar. Iba is saying, Yemai, Nicha, Lishna. Maybe we prefer Yemai. Like my Mopet, but Iba is saying, we can't because Nefishimi. Okay, so that's the way he's reading. He says, according to Rashi, the first teretz is explaining why Eir Eivin had to be an exception, because it's Drabanan, and therefore you can't say Psulim. And the second teretz is saying, no, or maybe Sukkah is an exception. Why? Because of Nefishimim. Okay, he's not really explaining why would I prefer one or the other. Now, Rashi himself, we'll get to Tosis. Tosis will begin to talk about that. Right? Why would I prefer to say Psula or Takat? Okay. At this point, the Maram is engaging in description, not in explanation. Is that trying to be Mazoi? At this point, yeah. It's a good way to organize it.
How do you organize it?
The kasha was just like, well, which do you prefer? Just be consistent. And the two terutzim are, well, either we really prefer psula, but Erevin is the exception. The default is psula, but Erevin is the exception because it's Rabbanan, and psula is a pre-existing reality, which is inappropriate when you make a new takana. Or Erevin is normal, and Sukkah is the exception. Sukkah is the exception. Okay, just laying out, just a description. Just laying out the flow. Yeah.
So is Maram seeing this in Rashi? Is he seeing in Rashi that possible is better?
Yeah. Because the first terrace is explaining why it's possible is inappropriate by in Arabic. The second terrace is the Gemara is explicit. Right. That we'd love to say takana, but we can't. The first terrace of Gemara wasn't explicit about, but the way Rashi reads, does Rashi understand this mysterious Daraisa Drabanan, Rashi understands it as by Drabanans you can't say pasul. While we'll see in Tosas, you can also read it as by Daraisa you can't say imayat.
Like back to Rabbi's mashal about marriage, it's not that you know we're married is any better than Hare's Aram Mikdash, it's just describing it in reality. So it's, how do you see from Rashi that one's better? I think this is what Z was saying also, that it just, not that it's for some reason better, it just doesn't work.
Okay, in that particular case, it doesn't work. But in general, 99% of the time, when you're describing a pre-existing din, whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan, when you're describing a pre-existing din, the ideal would be to say, pasul.
Where does Rebbe see ideal here?
Well, why is this a pasul in Arbisha?
Because that's just more descriptive of it is pasul.
Well, you could also say you might. That would also be true.
Because you might have the other connotation of, I'm now declaring that you should.
Well, I don't think so. It's appropriate, and it's not inappropriate for a declaration. But you might certainly be instructions that are already true.
I would say also in response to praying that Dugan Rashi, the Ramas of Tanakaganda, it says the Loshayach will miss the Loshim Sul. Therefore, it's Mashma that you would want to have this Loshim Sul, but since it's not Shayach, because what is in the Mishnah in Erevin is that Takanas Chazal, therefore you can't have this Loshim Sul. But you would want it.
And then, and then in parallel to that, Rashi later, Rabbi Baisema, has very parallel language. Here, Shayach Lameimer Takan. The Rashi is very neat and clean, and the language is right. And that's why Maram said it. Rashi actually is structuring it that way. With the Shayach here, the Shayach there, Rashi is saying it very neatly, smoothly, very nice, very beautiful. Of course, the problem with Rashi is that he is still making several assumptions, which are all debatable. In other words, is it necessarily, are we so convinced that this is the original? Drabanan just means the original Takana Drabanan. Really? Maybe, okay, maybe. Mechtesi. And also the assumption in language that it's really so terrible to say psula, I mean, I don't know. You have to say right? I don't know. Do the chuppies say rehab mekudeshously? Why don't we say raise the psula? Maybe because you might is the only one word. Maybe. It's not, you know, there's room to debate both of Rashi's presumptions. And as I said yesterday also, Rashi also is getting us thinking about the fact, something else about the word psula, which is that psula is, before we even get to the fact that it's a pre-existing status, psula is a status. Right. And that's something that Tosfos will pick up on. Let's take one or two more questions, and I want to come back to the begin Tosfos. Yeah.
So we're saying that the Maharam is basically saying Rashi Shita, right there, and they're just...
Yeah, and he says explicitly. I'm explaining according to Rashi.
So why, according to then, do we say, Elish Yav Mava Lo Shach, Lashanu, Lishan Di Psula, came to me there, Elakach Hayam Mukhraf, Lashanu, Lishan Di Yima. Why is it Mukhraf to Rashi? If it's just a matter of like preference, it's not really
Mukhra. No, you have to say Yemai, because you couldn't say Psula, because Psula sounds like it's pre-existing.
But is that Mukhra?
Mukhra doesn't have to mean... You're using Mukhra in the sense of... in a logical argument, this is logically forced. He just means, we needed to. You needed to say Yemai, because you couldn't say Psula. We would love to say Psula. We couldn't, because it's inappropriate for a declaration, for a pronouncement. So we had no choice but to say Yemai. One more question.
So I understand Rashi's difference between you might have possible by this specific case, but how does that connect to
what you said about you might apply to all the body and possible applying to all the
rabbis. According to Rashi, it doesn't apply to all the rabbis. It applies specifically to the original Takana Drava. If you're giving a sheet, that's a Rashi, that's what I'm saying. Rashi is still looking at this Gemara, Jaisi Rabbanan, he says, no, Drabbanan means specifically the original Takana Drava. Which again, is a good solution if you can't see any other way of making sense of this chiluk. So Rashi's like, why should it be fundamentally the Jaisi Rabbanan? No, it just means, what's it called? The original Takana Drava. Okay. Which again is a very dramatic assumption, historical assumption made by the missionary. If you make that, so then it makes it easier to make sense of the Gemara.
So, if the Xeris on the original Jerabana, then it's possible? And
say, no, they can't say possible because possible sounds like I'm just describing a fact. It would have to be Yemayit, or maybe Hareza possible. Mikadal Habadis will be possible.
So, when would you say possible then, according to that?
The next year, when you, or the next century, when you teach Talmud in the Din, you say it's possible.
Also, because it's recent.
Because it's not just recent, because it's now. I'm declaring that this shall be, as opposed to it is. You and I speak in English, that usually does not distinguish between a shall and is, or the justive and the non-justive moods. But were we, using subjunctive mood, were we to differentiate more consistently between those sorts of the justive and non-justive, so you might say that you shall, to say this shall be possible as opposed to this is possible. I think that's probably the best way to capture Rashi. This shall be possible is the original takana. This is possible is describing a present reality of either Daraisa or Drabbanan that's already on the books. So how you say it then? So Rashi says, Psula sounds like this is possible.
So is
then not this shall be possible.
So is possible?
I shall return.
So is possible, shall is.
Right. Now, of course, there's a difference in using, you know, will and shall, of course, in first person. If you're really going to be an English pedant, it'd be pedantics. The difference between first person and second person, third person, but we don't have to go there right now. We could study MacArthur, some of them. You were waiting for a long time. Let's take a question, then let's go back. Yeah.
Did we do the whole Mara yesterday?
Yes.
And is when it says
not red inside, we discussed it.
Okay. And is Maharamas? When it says Matare Sitartsan, does that mean the Gemara answers?
Yes. The Tartsan is the person giving the Teretz. He tends to assume like there's like different people. Someone's asking the Kasha, some anonymous Amor is asking Kasha, a different anonymous Amor is giving the Teretz. The Makshin is the Kasha Esker, and the Tartsim is the Teresker. Okay, and now let's take a look at Tosis. And then we begin, we only have a couple minutes left, so we'll begin to dig into Tosis now. Just a quick show of hands, just to get a sense of where you guys are up to in working through the Sugya. How many fellas got to the Tosis of Rosh and the Ra'ah? How many fellas finished the Tosis of Peppers? Okay. How many saw the Tosis of Rosh and the Ra'ah? Gival. How many began to look at Demai, the Medef Tos? Okay, good, perfect, good. Good. So we'll pick up in the next week. Now let's begin with the few minutes that we have left. Let's begin to take a look at this Tosafot. D'oraisa tani psula. Why? Right. Tosis does not always ask, I'm sure you've noticed many times, certain Masechtas, this is more true than other Masechtas, that sometimes Tosis gets into the zone of not actually asking this question, like Rashi style. Just sort of answering an implied question. So essentially, we spend time swaying over Rashi, so it's pretty clear to us where Tosis is going. Yeah, but Tani Yemayit, obviously, if he would have said Yemayit by the Raisas, we already see from that opening phrase, we already see a lot. He's obviously bothered by, like, what's the Svara behind the Gemara's Chiluk? And he's saying, I would have loved to have said Yemayit, but by the Raisas I can't. Which, by the way, is already the opposite of Rashi, just from a technical Maram standpoint, the default, even the first Teretz according to Tosas, it would rather say Yemayit, which, by the way, he's going to talk about why. But that's across the board, rather say Yemayit. The second Teretz is saying, we'd rather say Yemayit, but we can't in Sukkah because it's Nefesh Melech. The first Teretz is saying, we'd love to say Yemayit, but we can't say in Sukkah because it's Daraisa. What's wrong with giving a solution to Daraisa? So Tosas explained, well, I I might think it means that the din required you should lower it, but lamaisa, if you didn't lower it, you still owe to the mitzvah of sukkah. And that is a dangerous mistake to make, because in fact it's not true. In fact, it's actually possible. The sukkah is not just, it's wrong to sit in a sukkah that's too high. You're not yotzei to the mitzvah of sukkah. You're mamash in chutzal sukkah. And so that's a dangerous mistake to make. If we're not clear enough, we need to be clear so people won't violate the din. And what does it do with the raisa drop on them? The diktek bilashon the mazit the yisur daraisa. So by a daraisa, we were even more concerned. The risk is so great; he may violate the daraisa. We can't afford that risk. Even though we would love to say ma'at, we have no choice but to say psul to make sure that no one chalila, plays loose and fast with his din and eats in a sukkah or sleeps in a sukkah. L'malvias. But therefore tani psul, we have no choice but to say psul. And now he goes on. The next phrase to answer another question. Even though it's not as refined a way of speaking as you might, what question did he just answer with that line?
Why is one better than
the other? Right. He's finally asking the question of why is there a preference for one or the other. So he actually says, the reason for a problem, give you a reason for a preference, specifically for a preference of Yemayit, which is good for Tosfos, because according to Tosfos, Yemayit is always the preferred approach, both the first Gemara's first test and second, in the Gemara's second test. Why? He says, it's a Gemara of Psachim. The Gemara in the beginning of Psachim says that it's important to speak with as much refinement and positivity as possible. Gemara says, let's see. He says, Mavli, which is Rabbanan, so lo chayesh, we're not as concerned. The risk is not as great if a person is leaving mezalzel and end up carrying in a Mavli with a Korah L'malami Aser Mama, you're violating Rabbanan, which is not as, which is terrible, but violent rice is even more terrible, and there's a cast of what was still, why not avoid violent Rabbanan also? He says, no, because it's a counter-pressure. On the one hand, saying psula is safer in terms of people's practice of halacha. On the other hand, yamayit is better. Fundamentally, why? Shahu lishna malya kedashcha reish psachim ikim akazer kamaosos shlohoti davar meguna mipiv. The Gemara there says that Makarish Baruch says to Noach, "Hey, here's how many animals you have to take if it's a behemoth Torah. V'asher einenu Torah. If it's not Torah, then you're going to have this number of animals." I just say Tameh. The Gemara says there is, the Torah is teaching us is a preference for speaking. There's much politeness and refinement. Not only not to use gutter language and to use four letter words, that's mamish and evil pen, not mamish gutter language, but to speak with refinement. We will see, give me another 20 seconds. We'll pick up on Sunday with the following. Number one, the Ra'ah has a twist on another reason why we'd prefer it. A more simple reason why you might prefer it. Okay? And then we'll go on to see Tosa as another explanation, more fundamental, of why it is that Doraisas are possible Rabbanan Yemayit, and that will send us in a whole new direction. Enjoy your lunch.